Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We are continuing to work our way through the book of 1 Peter and finding more and more gold as we go through. I want to welcome you to Revival Life Church on this holiday weekend of my anniversary. It's President's Day Monday, is that right? Hallelujah. 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 I had a great weekend. It was long, good weekend. I got to be with the Arnotts, which was wonderful. They send their love. As you turn there, I want to give you a quick testimony from the weekend for me. I was praying for some people, which is kind of what I do. And there was people laid out on stage. I was praying for them. And there was a woman that I recognized from when I was there the last time. I believe it was at the Benny Johnson conference. If you remember the story, at the end of the conference that weekend, I was ready to dip out early. Remember, I set myself up to try to leave early. And as I was ready to sneak out the door, Pastor Norman said that I was going to pray for everybody in the room. Remember that? And that wasn't my plan, but I had to pray for everybody. Now, Benny Johnson is a pro. She dipped. I mean, she just dipped, right? She was gone. And I was there praying for everybody. And there was a woman I was praying for, and I remembered praying for her for a long time because, you know, we get inoculated to the gospel by familiarity. I don't know if you know that. We read the Bible so much and we use the words so much that they begin to lose their power. And it's not an evil thing, but it's a familiarity thing. We begin to know it so well that we don't think we need to learn it anymore. And it no longer becomes alive on the inside of us. And so we sometimes don't hear what God is speaking because we think we already know what he's saying, right? Like you talk to somebody and you're finishing their sentences and they're finishing your sentences and you're like, I need you to be quiet so I can finish because what you keep saying is not what I'm saying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, just let me finish. Like, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? Let me finish my sentence. So I was talking to her and I had this word for her and I prayed for her, but I didn't really remember all that. I just remember that I prayed for her and I saw her on the stage and I said, hey, didn't I meet you last time I was here? And she goes, oh my God, I was praying that I would get to see you again. I was like, well, I'm married, and, you know, anniversary Sunday, you know, 17 years, got a church and two kids, and, you know, what? No, it wasn't that at all. She said, I was hoping I could see you again, and she said, everything you prayed happened. I was like, awesome, what'd I pray? You know, like, tell me about it. And she says, oh, the miracles. And I was like, I remembered I was praying for her, and I was saying, listen, you're supposed to be doing miracles. And she goes, yeah, heal the sick. I said, no, miracles. She goes, yeah, I pray for healing all the time. I said, no, look at the Bible. There's a gift of healing and there's a gift of miracles. They're two different things. They use two words, right? So like if you're missing an eyeball, you don't need it to be healed. You need a miracle. Right? Wherever the eye is, it may or may not be good. It may need to be healed, but you need a miracle. Right? If your eardrum has been destroyed, it doesn't need to be healed because it's not sick. You need a miracle. You need it to be fixed, right? Now, miracle is no harder than a healing, just a different gift. Okay, we're on the same page here, right? So I began to tell her about, you know, I'm praying over her miracles. I began to pray over her intercession, prophetic words, seeing things in the spirit. Like, here's what's neat. When you're praying stuff, you don't even understand. You're like, I don't have any idea what this means, but I just see this, and so I'm praying it over you. But I prayed for a long time because partially because she wasn't getting it, right? And I was like, I gotta get this on you, right? Just so I can go on with my life, right? And get it on you. And she goes, it all started happening. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, let me give you an example. I was praying for a woman with rheumatoid arthritis, and as we prayed, her knuckles went down and her rings fell off her fingers. She says, and that just happens. Stuff like that happens all the time now. She says, we'll go into intercession and I'll see things and my husband has to Google them to find out if they're real. Like nuclear power stuff. And I'm just seeing things that I don't understand and he has to Google it. And I was like, praise God. So maybe today's the day that it unlocks for you. Amen. We're going to have a fire tunnel here. Maybe you'll get something. You'll go home with something you didn't have. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm happy about that. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10. I feel really good about that. Hallelujah. I'm getting more and more encouraged every moment. All right, I'm gonna go quickly here because we're going to have a fire tunnel, and it's going to be quite good. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10, the Apostle Peter speaks to you and to me. He says, "For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from lying or speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Hallelujah. Hey, beginning a new message series, and I just kind of want to work out a little short, brief introduction today as we move into what God is speaking to our house through the Apostle Peter. I have to get a little bit on my soapbox today and kind of talk about why we're a church in South Florida. Now, South Florida, I believe, does not have any shortage of churches. Amen? If something were to happen to this building and the Lord in his providence decided that I was like Enoch and walked with him and sucked me and my family up into the heavens, right? I'm fully confident that there's someone in South Florida that could pastor you, right? I'm fully confident that you're not going to be eaten by the wild beasts of false doctrine and all that, right? Okay, so there are enough churches in South Florida, right? Yet we need more, right? However, we're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. God has a vision on this house. He has a vision for you and your ministry and your life and why you're here and why you gather here. We're not just here to punch our church card. We're not here just to let God know that we did something good for him today. Look, I sat in a chair in a middle school. Aren't you so happy for me, right? Now, before I get into this, I need you to understand something very, very simple. Sin is bad. Righteousness is good. Amen? Sin bad, don't sin, sin less, it's not good for you. Okay, we're all on the same page, right? I've already said it, Jesus doesn't want you to sin. Amen, amen, and amen. Too much of the church has been dedicated to not what Jesus died for. Too much of the church has been dedicated to the fear of pastors that people won't follow God. Too much of the church has been based off people needing to feel good about themselves, so we set up rules that make you feel justified in your life. Okay, let me say it this way. You grow up without Jesus. You grow up away from God. So many in South Florida do not know God. Amen? I don't know if you know this, but you just talk to people on the streets and they don't know Jesus. I mean, people, it is perplexing to them that I cannot hang out Sunday morning because I go to church. They just don't get it. They're like, "You what? Do what? Like, why is that so odd in our culture that I go to church on Sunday morning?" Like, "Well, can't you skip one week?" Not really. I can't really skip church. I do. This is what I do. I've done it for a long time. I'm not stopping now. "Well, you don't really have to go to church." How would you know if I have to go to church or not? How would you possibly know? These are people who tell you you can't skip on your diet once and you got to train 9 days a week and you got to, "Oh, but you can skip church." How would you know I could skip church? You don't even know why I go to church, but you know I don't need to go. You can skip the club. Right? Like, why would I do that? Come on, we're working on different things here, right? You hear what I'm saying? But for too long, Jesus did not save you so you can become church, though. Amen. He did not save you so you can learn a new church culture, so that you can fit in here. Like, you did not get called out of darkness into church. Amen. This is not the goal. The goal is not that we think you're amazing. That's not what you got saved for. Conversely, let me say it this way. You did not get saved to spend your life thinking about sin. You did not get saved so you could run from the sin boogeyman your whole life. That was not the purpose of it. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, see, I didn't grow up in church. Some of you grew up in church, so this is going to sound very foreign to you. I didn't grow up in church. I was just a wicked, awful, evil sinner that God, for some reason, decided to save and put in ministry. All I know is that Jesus completely changed my life, and I want to help other people get their lives changed. So I never had a dream of building a church kingdom. I never had a dream of being some big guy in the church. I never had a dream of being the most righteous dude in the meeting. That's never been a goal of mine. My goal has always been to get people who don't know Jesus connected to Jesus, and people who know about him to be connected to the love and power of God in their life. That's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is not to get people churched or to impress other pastors or to be somebody in my city or to be invited to the head of the table. It's not on my radar, right? It's not on my radar at all. It doesn't impress me. Fake doesn't impress me. Being called reverend in the city doesn't impress me. Like, this is not, again, something I'm interested in. It's not a big deal to me. You know why? Because when I get to heaven, God's not going to ask about any of those things. He's not going to ask, did your people wear suits? Did they know how to do the church dance? Right? It's not the goal. And so often, people come to church, and the goal becomes to learn how to do church. I remember when I got saved, and we'd have morning intercession. We'd have it twice a week. And I would show up, and I was just amazed that everybody knew all the songs. There's no words anywhere. Remember that when you first got into church, and everybody knew all the songs? Like, how do you know so many songs? There's like a billion songs. How do you know them all? Was it just me? Like, I remember, like, how do you know all the songs? He's just singing songs. Then one day, the worship leader at intercession started singing in tongues. Like, just sang in tongues. How did he do that? How do you do that? Like, I gotta learn how to do that. You know, like another task, another church task they got to figure out. Here's a funny story. When I got churched, right, I started dressing like the church people dress, right? So I'd wear a shirt and tie and slacks and pants. When my wife and I, we first met, she only ever saw me in church. So she assumed that's how I dress. Went on a date, of course, dressed up on our first date, because as you know our story, I was proposing that first date, right? So I wanted to look good. And then we started knowing each other. She's like, why are you dressed like that? Like, surprise! I know you don't want to give the ring back, so you're kind of stuck. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And so, but man, if that ain't churchianity today, I got my church clothes, then I got my life clothes. I got my church talk, then I got my life talk. I got my church friends, then I got my life friends. And only one set are my real friends. I run into people in the mall. I'm like, "Ooh, didn't know you dressed like that." Whoa. And here's really what I want to get at. We're not impressing Jesus by being fake. And if I could just be so bold as to say, you're not gaining anything, but feeling self-righteous. We feel justified in our lives by getting enough people to say that we're okay. But at the end of the age, you're going to stand in front of one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is going to judge the living and the dead. And it's not going to matter if Corey said you're perfect, or I said you're perfect, or, you know, Reinhard Bonnke said you're amazing. It doesn't matter what any person says. It's who are you really? This is why we look in the scriptures at, you know, Paul writing to Timothy, Paul writing to Titus. He's like, hey, you're going to get some leaders, and don't just figure out who looks good in public. Look at the people who know them behind closed doors. If his wife don't want to go to church with him, if his wife don't respect him, if his kids don't like him, that's the real them. Don't put them in charge. Because just like the kids don't like him, the people won't like him. Because the real them is going to come out once they have power. The real you comes out. The real test of character is, what do you do with power? What do you do when you have power? A lot of people fantasize, you know, if only I hit lotto, man, I would help all my friends out. You know these lying fantasies that you have. I'd pay for school for all these hurting people, and single moms would, and then people hit lotto and they become drug addicts and blow it, right? Am I making this up? I mean, surely you've gotten some extra money. How many times have you given it away? When you actually had power, what did you do with it? What did you do with the power you were given? And Jesus, by his work on the cross, has given us power over sin and death, right? And so we have the ability, don't get offended with me here, we have the ability to sin and still go to heaven. You don't think it's true? Look at the book. You have the power to sin and go to heaven. What are you going to do with that power? Are you going to use it to sin? Are you going to use it and say, I am going to regulate the power God has given me for good? And I say, oh, that's blasphemy, Pastor. You're giving them a right to sin. Now you see, you're a liar right there. I'm not doing any such thing. And let him who's never sinned in this room in the last week come up and talk to me afterwards. Every one of us has sinned. I don't want to sin, mostly, right? Like, there's things I'm wrestling with. And in my conscience, I'm like, this is not the person I want to be. Right? I had to have a family meeting recently. And I said to my kids, listen, sometimes people don't do things right and they need accountability. I'm your dad. You're supposed to honor me. But you never have to honor unrighteousness. You never have to honor unrighteousness. Ever. Be it in government, be it in church, you never have to honor unrighteousness. And so I have talked, I get a little bit of a temper while driving. And I don't know if the real me is coming out or someone else is coming out. I don't know, but I don't like it. I'm like, I would never behave like this with someone in front of me. What am I doing? Right? I'm losing my temper. And all I can picture is one day my son is going to be in the car. When he's old enough, he's just going to be ramming people, you know? Like, that's where this is going. That's how my dad dealt with it. Like, to me, this is where this goes. If I do it to 8, my boy will do it to 10. So I want to be righteous at least to 8 so he can be righteous to 10, right? Like, this is how I look at things, right? Like, he's going to build upon what I have, the foundation I've laid. And I like to lay a righteous foundation so he can build upon that. So here I am in front of my kids modeling a lack of temper, a lack of self-control, a lack of grace, judgment, bitterness, not being okay with people who don't drive well in South Florida. I'm not on vacation going down Glades. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get somewhere. I got places to go, man. I know this is all new to you, but I'm trying to get somewhere. You know, there's 3 lanes. Move over. In the name of Jesus, right? The police doing? Anyway, I digress. So I met with my kids and I said, listen, do you understand what accountability means? And they didn't, basically. You know, they had all kind of churchy answers. I said, accountability means you need to hold me on account of my abilities. And I have an ability to operate in grace even when I'm in a car, as hard as it is for me, right? And so when I am behaving in ways that are unrighteous, I need you to call me out. You have authority to call me out no matter who's in the car, where we're going, what we're doing. You need to rebuke me. Now, it's a trifling shame when I got to ask a 13-year-old to hold me accountable. Right? It's a trifling shame. But it is what it is. Because I know if you give the devil a couple feet in your life, he's going to take over. And next thing you know, I'm going to yell at somebody and they're going to shoot me. And I don't want to be shot. I don't. I don't want to be shot. I don't know, right? There's crazy people out there. The devil's going to put a crazy driver in front of me, and I'm going to get all worked up, and I'm going to get shot, and I don't want to be shot. And so for me, I got to just hold myself accountable to whoever. Now, my wife, she doesn't need that kind of liberty. She just takes it, right? She just feels anyway like we're spouse. I'm going, I'm going to let you know, right? My wife is fully empowered already, right? But I need to be righteous. I need to treat people well. I need to be the same person when I'm driving as I am right here on this stage right now. Otherwise, I'm lying to you. And the word shows us that the lie is not when I'm driving, it's when I'm up here. You hear me, right? And so as we are fake with people in our lives, we're not doing anything for them because they don't care anyways, right? Like you're not on their mind to begin with, right? All you're doing is robbing yourself of the opportunity to have somebody in your life to hold you to account of what you can really do and who you could really be. Now, I don't have time to go fully down that road, hopefully another day. But as we look at this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, now of course, Peter basically is quoting the psalmist in Psalm 34 through this, but if you look at it, you'll see he fairly quotes them. And if you look in your Bible, it may be in italics or it might be in all caps. Like here, it's all caps. And that's to show you that they're quoting another part of Scripture. Okay? So as you read, you'll see that. So we see here in verse 10, he says, "The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Now, The Psalms, of course, were written in kind of a Hebrew poetry style, so sometimes it's a little complicated to understand this, but basically what he's saying, if you want to live a life that doesn't make you weary, if you want to live so that you don't have a weary life, this is what he's saying, the one who desires life to love and see good days. If you want to live a life where life doesn't wear you down, don't lie to folks and be real. Don't be evil. Don't be mean. Don't be rude. Don't manipulate. Don't do bad things to people. Speak good stuff. Sometimes, you know, life is hard enough, right? Like, life is hard enough. Like, I don't involve myself in gossip, or I really try not to involve myself in gossip because I got enough drama. I really don't need to import other people's drama. I got enough going on. I don't need to get involved in anybody else's, right? If you want solutions, come to me because I'll give advice. Complaining, I'm not as good with. Because, again, I'm busy trying to improve my life. I'm trying to improve the life of the people who honor me and receive from me. And I'm trying to glean from the people who feed me life. I don't have a whole lot of bandwidth available for people who are living crazy and are kind of wallowing in it, right? I don't have a lot of time for those people who won't take ownership of their own drama, right? And it's amazing how many people who live lives filled with drama have whirlwinds of drama going around them. Like, they attract more drama, and like, you don't know what drama is their drama or other people's drama or drama that's even real drama or fake drama, or like, it's like, my God, like, you just walk into this whirlwind. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, up is down and down is up and left is right and blue is triangle. Like, nothing makes sense anymore. Right? And all of a sudden, life just gets you weary. He's like, oh, you start to lose energy, like you lose altitude, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is, whoa, and it all seems so real, except for the fact that it's not. It's manufactured. It's not real. It's not life. It's not life at all. As a matter of fact, it's curse. As a matter of fact, it wants to drain the purpose out of your life. It says, if you want to live a life that doesn't wear you down, listen, don't lie. Right? Be nice to people. I mean, you just do that. Yeah. Tell the truth and be nice to people. You're going to have a fairly good life. Yeah. Now, you may not have, you know, as many friends as everybody else because you'll only have real friends. You know, you may not have the 40-person friend group because you'll only hang out with people who actually like people who are nice and don't lie. So you'll have less friends, but they'll be real friends and quality friends and people that you can actually trust, which I have found a better life. I found that to be a better life. It's scary because you can't be fake anymore and you have to actually be the person you are. But you know what? People actually like the person you are. And you don't have to drag around this fake person everywhere you go. You got to remember which lie you told to which person and which person they know of you. You don't have to worry about your worlds colliding. Oh, no, a church person is about to meet my work person. Uh-oh, this could be awkward. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you don't, but I bet you do. We read in the book of Revelation John the Revelator is up in heaven, and he sees this sound of worship coming. And I keep hearing prophecies about the coming wind, and I have a word about that. I want to go. Oh, Jesus, I'm running late. Hallelujah. It's interesting. If you read the book, it says on the day of Pentecost, it doesn't say a wind came, it said a sound came. A sound came like a mighty rushing wind. A sound came, right? And we read in the book of Revelation, there's a sound that John the Revelator hears. And he says there's a voice in heaven, a voice, and say a person, a voice in heaven singing a new song. In Revelation 14:5, these voices that sang this new song, it says, and no lie was found in their mouth. They were blameless. May I submit to you that much of the anxiety that our world faces today are based on the fact that people are afraid they're going to be caught in their lies. They're going to be found out that they're not really somebody they keep telling people they are. We're in an age where we have to look like our life is something that it's really not. We have to have things we can't afford. We have to do things that we don't even find interesting. We have to impress people we don't even care about. And we're constantly manufacturing a lie. And unfortunately, it's not just in the world, it's in the church. It's in the church to a level where we fake the anointing, we fake compassion, we fake conviction, and we don't change anything other than we put what we think is a sanctified version of the world inside of a wall every Sunday. And what we're here to accomplish at Revival Life Church is a place where you could be you. And if we don't like you, we'll let you know. That thing you do there, it's not God, it's annoying. We need you to stop it. I'm like, I want to keep doing it. Well, I'm sure there's somebody who will celebrate that, so I hope you find them. Does that sound mean? I hope it's not mean. That's what we call real. That's what it means to be a real friend where you say, listen, I'm looking for friends, but I don't want that in my life. And someone says, but that's who I want to be. And you're like, well, hallelujah, I hope you find somebody who wants that because I don't want that in my life. That's a real friend, right? There's people, there's churches that do all kinds of great stuff that they say God told them to do, and I celebrate it, doesn't mean we got to do it. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Don't mean I got to do it. Doesn't mean you got to do it. Everybody who says God said, most of it God didn't say, but also doesn't mean he told you. Are you hearing me? Is this okay, Kellyanne? Is this all right? Am I doing okay, honey? See where this lands? Okay. Why do I say this? Listen, I want to give you liberty to be you. You can't live to impress me. If you're living to impress me, man, you're going to die and be like, oh, I got Carl's affirmation. What the heck? Well, take that to the bank. See what it does for you. Right? But some of you, the Lord said, you're supposed to be in this church. You're supposed to figure out how to get fathered right here. You know what that means? Stop telling me what I need to do and start listening a little bit. Hallelujah. We set up these barriers to truth in our life and we live a fake life and we think we're going to make everybody else say that it's okay. And guess what? It's not. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Galatians 1:8. Listen to this. Listen to what Paul says. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is, what's it say? Accursed. We can't play loose with the gospel. We can't play loose with the truth. We can't lie and say it's something else. Man, I love what God is doing all throughout the earth, but it's easy to do the church growth movement, and all of a sudden marketing is no longer marketing, it's a lie. And all of a sudden, it's not just clever, it's manipulation. It's easy. It's easy to get on the other side of that line. It's easy to say, well, God is saying we're going to do this, when really it's just your church growth plan. Yeah. Right? And it's a funny line to walk, but at the same point, we got to go with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have to go with the conviction. Come on. We got to go with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to shout me down. That's all right. I'm good. This is good stuff. This will set you free. I'm going to end with this and we're going to have a fire tunnel. The way to grow church today, listen, every every small church thinks that they're the better church and the big church is compromised. That's, that's a lie, right? All the big church pastors I know are amazing. I don't know them all, but the ones I know are amazing. My wife and I were with the pastors of Christ Fellowship recently, and I'm just like, just keep talking. I have nothing to say. Just keep talking. You're amazing. Just keep talking. We had lunch with Pastor Don and Kathy Carpenter from Victory Church, whom we love and have been a massive help to this church. And I'm just like, you keep talking, I'll keep listening, right? Like, you're amazing. And I know so many big church pastors that their churches are big because they're doing amazing things, right? So I'm not saying, and I've been at too many small churches where like, we're small because we're spiritual. No, you're small because not a lot of people want to go to your church. Right? I mean, that's what it means, numerically speaking, right? Like, if you just count. Maybe that's what you're called to, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe that's okay, but you don't have to put someone else down to justify where you're at. Right? It's not because they're big, there's something wrong with them, and we're not small because there's something wrong with us. Right? Like, I'm not, right? But there's a certain program in churches. Man, is this okay? Can I just be real for just one Sunday, and then we're just going to lay hands and release the Holy Ghost? There's a church growth program that people are reaching the world by their programs. You have some amazing programs. You have some young model androgynous looking worship leaders, and they're singing stuff with the lights, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. You guys are amazing. This is awesome. And then you have, you sink money in the program. You just have great programs. And you draw people, to come to your Sunday morning church by your amazing programs. And we want good programs. And we want every program that we have to be better. But here's our program. You're the program to reach the world. You're the world's program to meet Jesus Christ. Everything we do here is that you would get equipped on Sunday morning and go change the world. Right? That's the goal. You are here to be equipped to go change the world. You are South Florida's outreach program. You. Right? You. Rich said it this morning. It was from my notes. He didn't know that, but I appreciate the amen, Rich. His workplace is his ministry. Guess what? That's it. Our workplace, that's your ministry. Publix is your ministry. Shopping is your ministry. Walking your dog is your ministry. First, your family is your ministry. First. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? You're it. So if for this church, people come in and they're like, hey, look, let me tell you about my religious pedigree. We're like, yeah, wow, that's awesome. Doesn't mean anything. Go reach the world. That's awesome. Go reach the world. We want to create an ecosystem here. We're creating an ecosystem where it all works together. We want people to come in who don't know Jesus. We want people to come in who know Jesus, don't know the Holy Ghost. We want people to come in who know Jesus, know the Holy Ghost, who will get with our ecosystem. And it's not about us validating your church identity. It's about equipping you to go change the world. Amen? Are you good with that? Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now what we believe is going to happen is I'm going to invite our ministry team to come forward. They're already set up. If you're not sure if it's you, you're not. Listen, we believe in the laying on of hands here. We don't know where everybody's hands have been. And so we just ask these folks to lay hands on people. I was just touching you. You're good. Spread out a little bit, peoples.